You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Welcome to MLB.com Extra. I'm Paul Hagan with Matthew Leach, and we're going to talk some New York Mets. Matthew, the Mets are a team that didn't do anything at the trading deadline, but still have some reasons to feel optimistic for the rest of the season and beyond.
Yeah, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm maybe not thrilled with the record right now, but I think there's more legitimate optimism than there's been in quite a long time.
Anthony, how surprised were you that Bartolo Colon and Daniel Murphy are still with the Mets?
Not very, to be honest. I mean, this is a team that they've, especially in the past few years, even when they've been essentially worse than they are this year, you know, this is a team that's been very cognizant of wanting to win as many games as possible, whether that means winning 70 games, 75, 80, or whatever they wind up doing this year. It's a team that, you know, is very down with the perception of they want to be as good as possible, and even if that doesn't mean a playoff berth. So while it might have improved them incrementally, the deal Colon, it's something they still can do this winter, same with Murphy. And it's something they just weren't willing to do right now, given the consequence of, you know, would have really pushed them out of a playoff race. They still think they have an outside chance to be in.
So what do you think the chances are that those guys will be moved before next season starts?
You know, given the pitching depth that the Mets have right now, I would actually be surprised at this point if Colon isn't moved. You know, he's a guy, he's 41 now, he's going to be 42 next season. And, you know, they have so many guys who are either already here or very close to coming through the system that it just makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels that if he finishes out this season strong and healthy, you know, you can get a return on that. You can get a return when there's a team out there that might not be willing to go 4 years and $60 million, you know, for one of the free agents that are going to be out there. So I think it's very likely they trade Colon. Murphy is another story. You know, this is the guy who came up with the organization. He's been here since 2008 in the big leagues. Well-liked, you know, sort of well-respected in the clubhouse. It would definitely be almost a PR hit to a certain extent if they traded the guy. That being said, he's going to make $8, $9, maybe close to $10 million next year. He's starting to get a little up there in age toward the back half of his prime. It's something they're going to have to consider. They've considered it. They've received, they've given offers a lot with Murphy over the past 3 years. They haven't pulled the trigger yet, and I'm not convinced they're going to be able to do it this winter, but it's definitely something that's still going to be on the radar.
When you look at this club both down the stretch this year and next year, you know, one of the guys that got a lot of talk early and kind of a little less now is Zach Wheeler, but you know, the numbers lately have been really good. Do you see this as a guy who is still up and down, is maybe hot right now, or is this last run here indication of a guy who is really finally kind of becoming the pitcher that they think he can be?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the optimistic view, but he really, when you look at not just the fact that he's improved, but what he's improved, you know, it seems like it's the real deal. This is a guy who came here to the big leagues with major control issues and command issues. I mean, he had trouble throwing the ball over the plate at will. He had definitely had trouble throwing it to the corners. But over the past really half season, he's solved that. He's not walking as many guys. And he's being a lot more efficient. This is a guy that when he first came up, you know, he would be in the fifth inning getting on 80, 90, 100 pitches. Now all of a sudden you look up and he's through seven at 95 pitches routinely. That's a huge deal for a guy like that, especially a guy with this type of stuff. He has all the natural ability in the world. He can stand up with any of the game's best pitchers just in terms of sheer stuff. So if he's really starting to harness that, you're looking at a guy that is top of the rotation potential, which is what we all thought of him when he first came up.
So how excited should Met fans be right now? I mean, there's obviously some questions about Harvey next year, but you know, with presumably Harvey coming back, with Wheeler, with DeGrom, who we haven't even really talked about, how good could this team be soon?
Well, if they're going to be good soon, it's going to be because of the reasons you just mentioned. It's the pitching. It's the pitching that's going to have to carry them. And they're definitely going to have to go out this winter and look for offensive help. They need a bat bad. They really need an upgrade in left field. You know, in a perfect world, they would be able to upgrade their shortstop position as well. Whether or not that happens remains to be seen. But even if they do nothing, the pitching alone is good enough that it can carry them to contention. It's just a matter of how good that pitching is going to be. Is it going to be very good or just or completely elite? And then is the offense going to be enough to sustain that? But the pitching alone is reason enough for optimism for a lot of people, I would say.
Anthony, Matt Harvey threw off the mound recently. Is there any chance at all that he pitches again this year?
In his own words, the chance would be if the Mets are in the playoffs, he will be pitching this year. It doesn't seem like the most likely thing in the world right now. And even if in that extreme case, I still have my doubts that it would happen. But no, I think you know what we all sort of thought, even if it wasn't vocalized at the beginning of the year, was that we're looking at opening day 2015 for Matt.
And we really haven't, as Matthew mentioned, we really haven't talked about Jacob deGrom, who might be one of the most pleasant surprises of the year.
A really interesting case, Jacob deGrom. I mean, he was a college shortstop, converted to pitching very late in his amateur career, you know, as far as that goes, and untalked about, partially because there were so many good pitching prospects coming up to the system with Harvey, Wheeler, Noah Syndergaard, even Rafael Montero, who was more highly thought of than deGrom coming into this year. And partially just because he hadn't shown what he's shown in the big leagues. He wasn't this much of a swing-and-miss guy, and he wasn't striking these guys out. He was putting up good numbers, but nothing like what we've seen. And I think it's just he's genuinely gotten better. He's improved. He's one of those guys that he's – Matt Harvey was the same way. He got to the big leagues and took a step forward in his own game. All of a sudden, he's worked his guy – he's worked himself into a position where he was probably ninth on the depth chart coming into spring training, and now he's pretty much a lock to be in the rotation next year. So kudos to him for A, improving, and B, you know, taking advantage of this opportunity that's been given to him.
I know they have him on an innings limit this year. How much longer do you think he'll pitch?
Yeah, he's scheduled for about 185, which should take him pretty deep into September. Now, if he's going 7-8 innings every time out like he has been, he could bump up against that a little sooner. But they're going to be very careful with him. You know, they see him now all of a sudden as this important piece for the future. So 185 is pretty much what you're looking at in terms of the end of the season for Jake DeGrom.
With Harvey, what's the plan now? And he is throwing – he's not going to get in a game this year. What is the plan over these next few weeks, and what's the plan for him over the winter? What's he going to be doing in order to be ready for next spring?
Yeah, even though he's extremely unlikely to pitch for the Mets this year, they do think it's important to have him in a competitive environment before the year is out. He definitely thinks it's important. It's something that's been one of his goals since the start. So they're going to have him go first to instructional league in Florida after in September, which will give him a chance to face live batters and really get into a game environment. And it's still possible, then, he could go to the Arizona Fall League and make a start there, even if it's just one. You know, it's a very competitive league. A lot of the top prospects in baseball are there. And it means a lot to him to be in that sort of environment. So they're looking strongly at sending him down to Arizona, maybe having him pitch a few innings, and just really putting him in the right mindset going into the winter in terms of, you know, having a normal offseason, a normal spring training, and coming in just ready to go as part of the rotation.
And it's obviously extremely early, but is the hope, is the idea that if this all goes well, as he embarks on this sort of next phase of throwing, that he would be relatively normal next year, or would he still be a guy that was handled pretty gently next year?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of depends on your definition of normal to start. You know, guys are different in terms of how they react to surgery. The Mets have done a lot of looks into this. They've studied it thoroughly, and their belief is that guys who come back, you know, post 15 months or so, as opposed to 12 months or so, really take to it better, have a better chance of coming back with their command intact and being the pitchers they once were. So that's the hope. And, you know, the issue is, like you mentioned, in terms of workload and stuff, I don't think they're just going to let him go full bore without limits next year. I think you're going to look at a guy that, especially early in the year, they might be cutting him off at, you know, for example, 6 innings of a start in the hopes of that he doesn't blow past 200 innings next year. I think you'd be looking at a guy that ideally – they hold to 190, maybe right around 200 innings next year, which with a full season's workload would definitely be cutting it a little shorter than it would have been.
Anthony, I know that David Wright said that his shoulder is not the reason why he struggled at the plate. Do you think that it's bothering him more than he's letting on?
I think it's 1,000% bothering him more than he's letting on. You know, you can ask him until you're blue in the face and he's blue in the face. David Wright is, he just doesn't admit injury ever, even when it's obvious to everyone around him. A couple of years ago, you know, he famously played through a broken back, which sounds dramatic, but it is. I mean, the guy, you know, was playing with this major injury, and he just wasn't telling anyone. You know, last year, he tried to play through a sore hamstring and wound up tearing it completely, and it cost him a month. You know, it's becoming at this stage of his career, when he's getting older, he's 31 now, he's starting to have these little nagging injuries more and more. It's getting to the point where, you know, he needs to get better at, you know, admitting when he's injured, because, you know, right now, I think it's clear to everyone that something's not right. And whether that means he's 95% or he's 65%, only he knows. But if he's going out there and going 0-for-4 every night, you know, what's helping the team more, that or maybe taking a week, taking 2 weeks, going on the table list and getting better? You know, it's something the Mets are going to have to look at down the stretch, and it's something Wright, even more long-term, is going to have to start looking at, just looking at himself in the mirror and knowing his body and knowing when he's healthy and when he can help and when he can't.
So at what point does a respected veteran established manager step in and say, look, we love you, we appreciate this, but you're not doing anybody any good?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something, you know, Terry Collins has had to wrestle with. But, you know, the counter-argument to that is, at what point, you know, how many times can Terry ask, right, are you okay, are you okay, are you healthy, and have him say, yes, I'm fine, I'm fine. You know, at what point do you almost call him out and say, no, you're not fine? It's really a tricky situation. I think it's a fascinating subject, and it really plays to the dynamic. Now, Terry Collins and David Wright have a great relationship. They have since day one. But it might be that situation where Terry's going to have to step in here soon. You know, if Wright doesn't turn things around and say, hey, look, you know, I know you're fine, but we're not, and we're going to have to do something about this.
Looking ahead to the future, Anthony, Lucas Duda's been hitting pretty well lately. Has he done enough to assure himself being in their plans next year, or does he have to still do more?
Yeah, I mean, barring some sort of collapse from him offensively down the stretch, I think he's pretty much established himself now as the everyday first baseman. What he needs to do to retain that going forward is he needs to prove he can hit lefties. And part of that's on the team, because they haven't really, I mean, Terry Collins really hasn't given him a ton of opportunities. He's given him sporadic ones. But and then part of it's on Duda. The opportunities that he has gotten, he hasn't shown that ability to hit lefties, hit left-handed hitting. You like to think it's still somewhere in there. When he first came up, even 2 years ago, he was pretty decent for a left-handed power hitter at hitting left-handed pitching. But he needs to show it, and I think August and September, he's going to get a lot more opportunities. You might see it pretty soon with some of the tough lefties in the NL East that he's going to have to face down the stretch. So, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, but in terms of the overall big picture,